Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined by my partner, Dennis, as always. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool, buddy.
I'm here. I made it late, but I'm here. How you doing, Doug?
Yeah. Getting ready to do podcast number 111, buddy. Getting ready to talk about our fun trips coming up.
Yeah, the summer's winding down here, and fall is in the air, and Disney trips are abound.
I'll tell you what, I know like five people going down in the next 2 months. Just personal friends, not besides the people we booked from the agency, but five personal friends. And then the crazy part is all of us are going weeks back to back to back, where none of us are going to be there together, but we're all going to be there.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out like that. But, fall's a popular time of year for folks going to Disney World. And, you know, with all the events, special events, Run Disney, food and wine, and Mickey's Not So Scary, and all that good stuff. Folks do make an effort to get down there, if only for a long weekend.
Yeah, we we'll be down in like 19 days it is, and you'll be down after me. My buddy Kevin, who's going for his first time, he's going the week after me. Then our buddy Adam's going the week after that. My friends that just got back from Disneyland, which we're going to talk about that trip very shortly. She wrote us a nice article and all on the trip.
Nice.
So we're going to do that on one of our upcoming shows, do a little Disneyland podcast. We're going to shake it up.
Yes. Nice.
You know more about Disneyland than me, Dan, so you'll have to carry that podcast.
Yeah, that's not too hard. That'll be a fun show.
So you want to hop into a little bit of news that we have
this
week?
Yeah, we're just going to touch on a little news. We had an extensive news show last week, but this week, what's going on here? Walt Disney World monorail system to operate on revised schedule from September 1st. The following schedule will take place from September 1st to September 26th. The Magic Kingdom Resort Beam, 8:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. It'll be open to midnight on special event nights. Magic Kingdom Express Beam, 9:30 to 1 hour following the Magic Kingdom fireworks. And then the Epcot Beam will be 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And this has to do with the,
the safety
features. Yeah, the automation system installation they're doing. So this has been going on intermittently for the last, year or so, I'd say. I know they had some closures and modifications due to the when they were building the Grand Floridian DVC, and I don't think they'll have to do that for anything with the Polynesian, but we're kind of used to these crazy schedules with the monorail now.
You have no choice with all the work going on around it, and plus you had that poor accident last year.
Yeah. I mean, whatever they're doing to add that safety feature in, I mean, it's necessary, and, I'm not saying like everything else we say, it's just aggravating if it's on your vacation. You get used to your certain ways that you get from park to park, or, ticket and transportation center, and all of a sudden you walk out the front door of the Magic Kingdom and it's not running, and you're like, oh, now what? Just a little bit, got to keep your eye on the transportation.
When you stay at them resorts and you have to take a bus, it's very disheartening.
Yeah, I mean, it takes some of the magic away, no doubt, because, as we say, that's what you pay for at those resorts. And monorail resorts, if you will, and that's part of the cachet, and that's partly why you pay $400 or $500 a night to stay there, is the convenience of walking out the front door of your resort and stepping onto the monorail and having access to both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So that does put especially if it's not running or it's running at a limited capacity during your trip, that is a little disappointing.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to a couple of my clients that are like Polynesian crazy. I actually sent them over to the Animal Kingdom for a change just because of told them to shake it up a little bit with the work going on, the construction, and now the stuff going on with the monorail. I said, this is a perfect opportunity for you to try something different.
Oh yeah, and
So they're going to stay over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Their one daughter loves animals anyway, so very much so. They said she's been begging to stay there anyway, so it looks like that's where they're going to be going for something different. And it gives you the excuse to try it, because I know, you know us with our, everybody gets set in their ways with the resorts they want to stay at.
Right.
They're your home away from home.
Are they renting a car? Do you know?
Yeah, they are. They're going to drive over from the airport. They're actually renting a minivan because it's a big family.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, that's good, because that's the, you know, the only downfall of staying at the Animal Kingdom is sometimes the you're so remote on property there that it can take, you know, 30, 35 minutes to get almost anywhere, and that can be frustrating if you're going to multiple places on the same day or – you know, just cumulatively over your week-long vacation, you'll spend several hours just on the buses, and that can get a bit old.
Yeah, it does. I agree with that. I've stayed there a few times. I think it's also one of those things, it's a bad stigma that's been put on it, because I've taken them, and I love Riverside, and I'll tell you what, the buses there are more of a pain in the butt than what Animal Kingdom are because of both resorts. Because the amount of people staying at both of those resorts, I think Riverside buses take longer than the Animal Kingdom buses.
Yeah.
And I'm a Riverside fan.
Yeah, but, and you're right, it's just the ride is different. With Animal Kingdom, it's more your ride after you get out of the resort to where you're going. At Riverside and French Quarter, you're right, you stop at French Quarter, then you got to do the loop around Riverside, depending on where you're staying and where you get off. You know, you're right. You could be a good 10, 15 minutes once you're even at Riverside or at Port Orleans before you get to your bus stop. So that's true.
And it's the same thing with it's all the big resorts. Caribbean Beach is the same way. I mean, you see, like, you're like, how many islands are there?
Right, right.
I mean, holy, North Trinidad, Trinidad, South, and the same thing with the Saratoga Springs, with how big that resort is.
Oh, yeah, right. If you don't know what you're doing there, it can take a while. That's why you got to know your locations and try to get, you know, your requests there. If you know what you're doing, it's great, but you can get stuck out in the boonies there, no doubt.
Yeah, so it's like one of those deals. I mean, you get spoiled when you're over at the Yacht Beach Club, Boardwalk, and all the resorts that are close to the hotels that you're going to. Yeah, I mean, the resorts are close to the parks that you're going to that day. The Animal Kingdom is just out by itself, but going to the Animal Kingdom is a treat for me, so
oh,
I'm right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when folks stay out there, I mean, I know it's hard for people that are theme park junkies or maybe get down there once every 5 years because, you know, people want to go, go, go and get out to the parks, but if you can do it, if you're staying 7, 8, 9 days or whatever, you got to stay at least a couple days just at the resort and enjoy the Savannah views and, you know, everything the resort has to offer. Because if you don't, you're really missing out. There's just so much to see and artifacts, and they have tours, and they have the fire pit. And, you know, just at the resort itself without costing you anything, just taking it all in. I mean, you can easily spend a day or two just taking advantage of all that stuff.
Oh, my wife loved it there. She went out the one day. I went down to the pool bar to watch the Eagles game, and she was out on the balcony just reading. It was so relaxing, reading a book, looking out at the, you know, it was gorgeous. It's a gorgeous resort. It's a very relaxing, beautiful resort.
It is, and, you know, but there's always, even as much as I like doing that, and we do that, and I say that, you still always feel guilty when you know you have a park pass in your in your pocket, or I guess on your phone nowadays, but you feel guilty because you feel like you should be taking advantage of something or doing something more than what you are with, you know, just relaxing, but it does pay to do that because it will be enjoyable, and you actually do get to relax a little bit on your vacation.
Well, I'm happy that this year the Eagles are on Monday Night Football when I'm down there. So the game don't start at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So the parks are closed because of that time of the year.
Nice.
So I can actually leave. You know, Epcot will still be open till 9 that night, but I can justify going back at 8:30 to watch the birds. But I won't feel like I wasted a day, if you follow.
Right.
Because I can go back, and if the girls want to watch something in the room, I'll head over and watch it with a bunch of other people. Because I know with it being on Monday Night Football, it's going to be on wherever I go.
Right. Is that ABC? Does ESPN have Monday Night Football? I don't even remember.
Yes. Yeah. So you know it'll be on.
Right. So it'll be on the resort channels as well as at any of the ESPN club or whatever bar you can get in that has a TV.
Exactly. If I want to go to, you know, if my wife is a – More than likely, her and Donna might go out and do something, and I'll chill and watch the game in the room because I know it'll be on. If not, we'll head down. I can head down either down to downtown Disney and watch it at Raglan Road or somewhere there.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of options to do that, which would be nice.
Next piece that we babbled on, as usual.
Yeah.
Barstool banter, buddy.
Yes, Mickey's PhilharMagic, the refurbishment, has been extended. It's going to begin on September 8th, and now it's going to run through the 27th. So that is a little longer than they had originally anticipated. So I don't know what they ran into there. I'll bet you they're changing the rugs out. They were looking a little worn last time I was in there. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's the one ride where I always feel like it's weird. I get, because they have the movie theater ropes in that ride.
Yeah.
It's weird. There's something about that ride, and I'm just saying it because I'm goofy. I must use Perel like four times by the time I get through that line.
Yeah.
Just something about that ride, I feel like I'm getting sick every time I'm in there.
Yeah, gotta have.
You know what I'm talking about? The way you wind back and forth.
Yep.
The Great Movie Ride's like it too, but it don't bother me. There's something about that ride. I always feel like I'm getting a cold after I leave that ride.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Gotta have your Perel, like you said.
I think it's all the kids in there.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's a weirdo.
Let's see. Disney officially announces updates to Move It, Shake It Celebrated Street Party. Disney has today announced that changes are indeed coming to the Move It, Shake It Celebrated Street Party at the Magic Kingdom. The first is the name change. First up to name change to Move It, Shake It, Dance, Play It is going to be the new name. Okay. That's a mouthful. Joining Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy will be Stitch and Phineas and Ferb. New music will include a medley of remixed classic party songs with guests voting for one of the three current hits during the finale Play It part of the show. No announcement was made for an opening date, but they did give a fall opening of the new street party. Interesting. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, we've seen it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking for it's. I mean, I did my nephew, and we were down there with the kids. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't hang out all day for it.
Yeah,
though.
I don't particularly like that one myself.
It's more for kids.
Yeah,
it has a young music to it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But they got something for everyone there.
But some of the performers are pretty good in it.
Oh,
the dancers
absolutely.
And stuff like that. They do a good job. So I'm not gonna say they're bad.
No, no, they're very talented. kids or young adults, whatever you want to say. But it's just not my thing. That particular parade.
Well, I like it because when it starts, it means there's less people in line, Dennis.
Yeah,
come on.
Run to Pirates or run somewhere to get in line. Right? That'll
exactly. Exactly, buddy. Now you're on board. That's why I love the parade.
Right. Let's see. Mickey's Not So Scary Party sold out for Halloween night. So you're locked out if you haven't already booked your Mickey's Not So Scary. You'll have to go one of the other nights during August, September, October, November, and December, whenever else they offer it, it seems like.
It's not December there,
almost,
Witch of the West.
Almost. But anyways, it is sold out for the 31st, so that's...
Don't it end on the 31st?
I think
it ends,
yeah.
And then they start the Mickey's Halloween party right after that in November.
Last year, it did spill over into November, because I think it split right on a weekend, so they ran an extra party or two into November. That's what I'm pretty sure. But you're probably right. It generally ends on the 31st, but there may be one party or two after that.
You're being Halloween bah humbug.
No, I like Halloween. That's one of my favorite holidays. I like that better than Christmas. Not the holiday itself, but as far as the parks go and how they look, I prefer the Halloween decor to the Christmas decor. But
my wife loves it, too. She loves the fall. I like both. Like, they're like, again, with your two children, whatever
right.
one... Whatever one is sitting next to you or with you at the time is your favorite, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't like the holidays, set up.
What I'm saying is if I'm down there at Christmas, oh, my God, this is the best
decoration
ever. If I'm there at Halloween, oh, my God, it's gorgeous. They're the two best.
Right.
I like flower and food, as you guys call it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like spring there because of all the topiaries and stuff like that. It is gorgeous.
Right.
But there's something with Christmas and Halloween that just rocks.
No doubt about it. With all the special decorations and parties and all the happenings going on, it's just an exciting time. And even if you don't partake in any of the extra stuff, just visually, the you know, especially the Magic Kingdom is decked out. It's just beautiful.
Wonder if the pumpkins will be up by the time I get there.
You never know. You never
September
know.
19th. Yeah. I have to look at that.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know. They keep pushing it back further and further every year, it seems like. One other piece of news here, and then we'll get on to our show topic. Downtown Disney's Festival of the Masters event is canceled for 2014, and I believe this has directly to do with the just the massive construction down there. That's where the Disney artists and other artists from around the you know, art community, if you will, that do Disney-related artwork kind of gather down there and sell their wares. And again, I think with the pressure on parking and all the construction going on, they've just canceled it. So I don't believe this is the event's canceled because it's not popular or they're not going to have it anymore. I think they're just trying to give some relief to the downtown Disney area, or Disney Springs area, I should say, this year. And I'd be surprised if it doesn't come back next year.
I think it'll be downtown Disney for us till the day we die, Dan.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, Hollywood Studios. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just getting used to calling it, you know, the new name.
Disney Studios.
Yes, and we're probably going
to... I still call it MGM half the time.
Oh, I do too. It's amazing. It's what you grew up on, or what you, you know, called it for the first 10 years. It's hard to break that habit, that's for sure.
Yeah, the only thing that gets on my nerves, and it's just me being a geek, a Disney geek, is don't you hate it when people, when they're at the Magic Kingdom, they call it Disney?
Or Disneyland? Or
Yeah, they'll call it, we're going to Disney, we were in Disney, we did Pirates. No, you were at the Magic Kingdom. Like, don't, and I get mad at myself when I get angry.
I know,
and correct
I
people.
Do too. Because when somebody says they're going to Disney, what does that really mean? You could be going to a movie, you could be going to the Disney store. It doesn't even mean you're in Florida. I mean, what does going to Disney mean? It really has no bearing on geographically where you are.
Yeah, I have so many people that call the Magic Kingdom Disney.
Right.
And then they'll call the other parks the other parks.
Yeah.
But they call it Magic Kingdom Disney. No, that's the Magic Kingdom. And then I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you angry about that?
We can all tell we can all tell these stories, but it's true. I mean, you know, you hear somebody in line saying, you know, you're gonna go what do they say? What's the ogre's name there? The green guy there, Shrek. Yeah. We're gonna go on Shrek after we get off of Pirates, you know. They have no clue. They start blending Universal in with Disney.
Oh yeah, my aunt and all that calls it there, because they're going down this year. They're going, we're going to do Disney. We're going to go see Harry Potter. No, you're not. It's different. If you're going to do both parks, it's fine. No, that's all Disney. And I hate it when they tell you.
Yeah.
No, I do. I should be committed as much as I know about Disney World and I know enough about Universal.
Right.
They are not the same.
Oh.
Forgive me for getting so angry, but we're going to do Disney. They think Shamu's at Disney.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's funny the things you hear if you just, you know, on the bus or in line or in a queue line. The stuff you hear is just unbelievable.
But I hate that I'm a pompous butt about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it shouldn't bother me like that.
Right.
It does.
Right.
So sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's the same thing with my football team. It's like if somebody says a player's name is wrong and nothing gets me angrier than when you're sitting next to a guy and he has all Eagles gear on from head to toe and he knows nothing about the game and he's blaming like the quarterback for the interception when the wide receiver ran out of bounds and fell and was drunk the night before. You know, they just spew stuff. They don't know what they're saying just to be angry. And especially Eagle fans.
Well, you know what it is with the Disney stuff anyways. It's our love, and we enjoy it so much, so we somewhat take it personally. Like they're calling you a bad name or something when they either mispronounce or miscall something, you know, not what it is.
Say something that's in the studios is at
right.
The Magic Kingdom or Epcot's part of the studios. And
right.
Just aggravates me, but I know I'm pompous. Like when I get in a fight with somebody about the Eagles, my go-to line is name the offensive line. And if they can't name all five,
I don't
five
talk
points,
to you.
Now,
right.
You're out of my league, buddy.
That's a good litmus test.
Yeah, because most people don't know their five starting offensive line.
Right.
And then you're not a true fan if you don't, because without that, they're the most important part of any team, in my opinion.
Yeah, the matter
the
you have for quarterback, right?
Yep. Yeah, quarterback could be the best in the league. If he can't get any time to throw, he's useless.
Exactly.
But on to Disney now. We're done with NFL.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's going to wrap it up for news this week. The only other thing here, and I know you did cover this for us last week, Doug, that there was indeed a baby gorilla born at the Magic Kingdom. So I guess there was some confirmation of that since we put out the show.
Okay, Dan, now I'm going to correct you. You said there was a baby gorilla born at the Magic Kingdom.
Did I say
at
that?
At the Animal Kingdom. Yes, you did.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to get fierce on you now.
See, I obviously don't know what I'm talking about.
No, the Animal Kingdom. I had your head in the Magic Kingdom when we were arguing.
But while I have it open here, I might as well just say, newborn male gorilla is the latest addition to Pengani Forest Exploration Trail at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Born August 7th to mother Azizi and father Gino, the baby gorilla has now joined the family group while being closely watched by the Disney Animal Programs team.
Wonder if the... Hey, Gino.
Hey, Gino. Yeah, I was going to say that.
Congratulations, yeah. Gino. You get down there. Congratulate Gino.
He's giving out cigars.
Yeah.
Let's see here. It did. Yeah, you covered this. Yeah, it's not. They haven't given the baby a name yet, so we'll hear more about this in the coming weeks, I'm sure.
A lot of the time, I think they let the baby develop a little bit of a personality, and then they'll name it.
Yeah, and not only that, but it sounds like it's obviously not out on exhibit yet, because of course they want to give the mother and the baby time to just, you know, do their thing and bond and all that stuff without the added anxiety of 10 million kids coming by their enclosure every day. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not or when they actually put the baby Gino out on exhibit.
Yeah, well, to go right off of that, we were going to talk about the things we're most looking forward to on our upcoming trip. Speaking about, you know, we were talking about everybody who's going down in the next few weeks.
Right.
And one of the things to kick it off is one of the things I'm hoping to get to see is the baby gorilla.
Right.
That would be awesome to see him out in the play area, out in the main area, and see him play around and see. That would be so. I can't wait to see him. I hope by the next 20 days he's allowed out to play.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would probably do it sooner than later, because I'm assuming, you know, this baby is going to, you know, stay there and grow and develop and eventually be out on exhibit. So I would think that if they're brought up in an environment and they get used to people and noises and stuff like that, that it would just make their transition a lot easier. So I got to believe, unless there's a health issue or something going on, that, you know, it would be out on exhibit fairly soon.
Yeah, because they're gonna have to slowly wean him, no pun intended,
right,
to getting used to people.
Right.
You know, getting used to that atmosphere, because that's going to be his home.
Exactly.
So it'll have to be second nature for him to roam around like that, not even pay attention to the people.
Right. Right.
But it will be fun to see. I'm looking forward to. Animal Kingdom is always one of my favorite. I can't wait to see, because the Animal Kingdom, I think, changes more than any of the parks. Just because of the foliage and the times of year, you know, just everything that goes on, the way the animals play with the temperatures. And, you know, every time you go to the Animal Kingdom, it's different.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they've been getting some new animals and stuff. And I want to say iguana. I know that's not it. But they were supposed to be getting a new that lizard.
Man-eater?
No, the lizard that passed away. Remember this over the
summer? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
It wasn't a lizard. I can't remember what it was. But I think there's a new one of those, whatever it is, out on exhibit. But anyways,
Komodo,
no, you're right.
Dragon? They do Komodo dragon?
Yes, exactly. Thank
yes.
you. Yeah, so they were supposed – when I was there last time, it was not – I looked and I asked, and the area where he was supposed to go was still empty. So hopefully by now they've filled that in. But generally speaking, you're right, Doug. I know they try to move things around and switch things up, and you're right. With the seasons and when the days start getting shorter and less sunlight, the animals certainly do react differently, and their schedules change and such. So, yeah, it's always different down there.
Yeah, I mean, every time you do Kilimanjaro Safari, you have a different driver. The animals are in different places. It's always a different show. And most of the stuff there is always a different show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I enjoy about it. You never know what you're going to find at the Animal Kingdom. Usually when I go to Epcot and Magic Kingdom, if the ride's open, you know what you're going to find.
Right.
The ride is with the, you know, it's usually you're looking forward to it, but with the Animal Kingdom, with the animals, there's always something new going on. You never know what they're going to be doing.
Absolutely.
So, what are you looking forward to on your next trip, man?
Next trip, first and foremost, definitely looking forward to food and wine. Again, we've talked a lot about this. It's a favorite of mine and ours. We go down every year now. I don't think we've missed a year in quite some time. And we definitely make a trip, or like I am this year, I'm making a solo trip to go. I wouldn't miss that. I just think tied into, like I said earlier, with the Halloween decorations and just the whole fall feel down there, added on to that with food and wine and the entertainment that they have, the Eat to the Beat series, concert series, and just the whole festival itself. I'm just really looking forward to that. I do each and every year, and every year I look more and more forward to it as it gets closer.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sad. It's a double-edged sword for me. I'm sad that I'm missing food and wine this year, but I'm also, in a way, not so sad because when I'm going to be down there, it's going to be least crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to miss the crowds, but I'm going to miss the food. You know what I mean? I'm going to still get the fall, the feeling of the fall there, the whole nine yards. But I think it's going to be a lot less crowded the week I'm going, from the 11th to the 19th, compared to 2 days later when the food and wine starts, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's like, I shared with you and the listeners my strategy. I mean, except for the mine train, which I'm sure that's going to show up in our discussion today of what we're looking forward to. But other than that, I made multiple Fast Pass Plus reservations. Other than that, I don't really care if I get on anything else my whole 6 days down there. Or 5 days down there. So I'm going to focus on the food and wine. And like I said, I don't – yes, if you're there on the weekends, there'll be fairly long lines at the at the kiosks or whatever. But, I'm just going to take it slow and easy and enjoy the festival and hopefully catch up with some folks that I haven't seen in a couple years and just enjoy myself.
Yeah, well, that's, to start, and one of the other things, the main thing I'm looking forward to, I cannot wait to wake up my first morning at Riverside. It's like a long-lost friend. It's like, now the music plays on a movie when it starts, or like a cartoon,
yep.
and the birds are singing, mm-hmm. That's how I feel when I wake up and walk out my door. I do the stretch,
yep.
In the morning, yep. As I walk out the front door, and it's just like heaven. It's like what heaven would be to me when I walked that resort for the very first time. It's like it's hard to explain, but it's such a wonderful feeling taking those first few steps along out that resort.
Yeah, and you get used to the little rabbits running around and the little hedges they have there and just all the sights and sounds and, the benches and the gazebos and all the familiar things that you're accustomed to. You're right. There's nothing like that first day at your favorite resort, and particularly at Riverside, where it's such a visually stunning resort. It's I can see exactly what you're saying. I'd be looking forward to that too if I was staying there this time.
And it's like weird. There's little nuances that I love about it, and I know we'll discuss this on a later show. We're gonna do a Riverside show actually, but it's like you do that beautiful walk in the morning, over, and it's peaceful. It's quiet. It's beautiful. The river's barely moving. It's a sheet of glass, and then you walk into the food court in the boat rides dining hall, and it's like all that noise. The shuffling of the food court.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like I hear it right now, and it's so weird that I can visualize it and hear it in my head. But you know what I'm talking about? You go
yep.
from that peace and quiet into that
hustle,
the bustling
bustle.
Of the
yeah.
yep of the food court and the noise of that food court. It's just like home to me.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's hard to explain,
right.
But it's weird.
Yeah, or if you're coming the other way, if you're coming from the check-in or from the.
Over by where the
right.
Arcade is.
Yeah, if you come that
way. It slowly gets louder as you walk down.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. As you walk down the hallway with boat rides on your left, as you get closer and closer to the food court area, it gets louder and louder, no doubt.
Yeah, it's just so – there's something about it. I mean, just something as stupid as I could hear the click of putting my tray back up on the trash can when I'm leaving. It's heaven, man.
Yeah.
It's absolute heaven. So go ahead, Dan. You go to your next one.
Well, I'll follow up with my second one that I'm looking forward to. I mentioned it, but it's, of course, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And, you know, I know a lot of the other shows, some of them that are located right in Florida, have covered this extensively, and we seem like we've been hearing about it forever. And it seems like forever since it opened, but it's only been a couple of months, if that. So, you know, I obviously haven't seen it yet, and I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I think you say it all the time, Doug, as many YouTube videos as you watch or whatever, it's still, I'm sure, isn't doing it justice, and it'll still be hopefully as visually stunning and a great attraction as I've heard it is. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
And that's on me too. That's on our bucket list to go down there. I cannot wait to see it. I mean, our old podcast buddy Scott, he didn't like it.
Oh wow!
He said he was disappointed by it. Remember, I told you the other day off the air when I spoke to him. Yep. He's down. I think he's back now or going to be back. He went down for 10 days,
okay.
And he said he was disappointed in it. He said he wasn't. He said it went by too quick, and it was. It was too much for kids. Now, he grades on a much tighter curve than we do. But he's the first person that I've heard that hasn't enjoyed it. And a second thing is I'm looking forward to the queue. I don't know. I think he did Fast Pass, too, so he missed half of it.
Right.
And do you know, since we bet on Podbeam, that has been our most popular episode, Enjoy the Queue.
Really?
That has had more downloads than any show we've done since we've been on Podbeam.
Wow.
And I was pretty shocked, not shocked, because I thought it was a good show that we did, a good idea, but yeah, that was the most downloads, and that even makes me more want to take the time and go through the queue.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's why the Imagineers do what they do. I mean, I'm sure it probably pains them, and you know, many of them are known, but I'm sure many of them are unknown, and they could be, in line or right next to you or with their family on vacation or whatever, and you'd never know it, and it probably breaks their heart when they see people either blow right by or not even look or, you know, as we know, I mean, some of the queue stuff is so much detail, you might not even know what it all means unless you do some research, you know, like Jungle Cruise comes to mind. Again, I remember listening to one of those Lou Mangiello shows, and, you know, even the little numbers on the boxes or the crates that are all there on the dock, all of those
mean
something.
It's all part of the story.
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and say I know what they all mean, because I don't. I probably know what very few of them mean. I mean, I can figure it out when it's, attraction opening day to something. That's kind of easy. But sometimes there'll be random numbers that represent, you know, the Imagineers that designed it, his birthday or her birthday or something. How would, you know, unless you read about that or really did some homework, you'd never know that. But generally speaking, all of those things and names and numbers and places, whether, you know, they all mean something, or they're an inside joke, or they tie back to something in Disney history. So it is interesting, the queue lines, if you really take the time to look.
Oh, every single thing at Disney has a story to it. I mean, they write a backstory to every show, everything that they open. All the restaurants, everything has a backstory. There's something that is being told about it.
Yep.
If you look into it. You know, if you go to Fulton's or, you know, the old Pleasure Island, there was a whole story about Pleasure Island. You tell people that, and they don't believe you.
Right.
And it's about a captain, and there's a whole backstory to it.
Right, right.
Which is really cool. That's the reason they tell the backstory to everything is that's what gives all the detail to the attraction. That's what gets them their juices flowing, as you would say.
Yeah, because they're all trying to one-up each other and come up with a cool reference or name or, you know, something having to do with it that they all know what it is. And, you know, a lot of Disney geeks like ourselves might know what it is. But the average person or kid or, you know, some family from, you know, Kansas somewhere that just goes there once in a lifetime, then, you know, and I'm not even saying they should, but I mean, they're so excited.
They don't have the time to.
Right, exactly.
Like, we're geeked out. We're digging deep now.
Exactly.
But, you know, but that's like, you know, you look into all the restaurants. They'll have a story about a chef that did this, and he wanted to do that. And then that's how the whole design comes of the building, if you follow me.
Yeah, I mean, look at...
That's what's amazing about
it. Look at Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach. I mean, those in particular have awesome backstories. And, you know, mm-hmm. it explains, wow, how come that ship's up on top of the mountain or whatever? And, you know,
yep.
if you don't really think about it, you just say, oh, yeah, that's cool. But if you really start asking yourself, wow, what's the deal with that? How come that's like that? And then, you know, you read the little placards or, you know, you start asking some questions or sometimes cast members, if they've been around for a while, can fill you in. And next thing you know, now I know why that, you know, that little quick serve restaurant's called what it is. That ties in, you know, and it starts.
Everything
like
has a story.
It's a big puzzle, and it all fits together.
Yeah, well, like last night, we were cleaning, and I found a book buried away, the first 100 years of Disney. It was like it was my Bible.
Right.
It was a long-lost friend. I was reading that all last night.
Yeah.
Going through the years, it's like because of Maelstrom. We were talking about that closing, and that's next on my list when I'm actually anxious to get on again before we don't know for sure it's closing, but that's some of the rumors. It's going to be going down soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked off the air about this, but I was listening to the guys over at Harambe Radio, and they had put out, and again, this is, I guess, rumor. You'd have to put it in the rumor category, but they were saying, and I was supposed to check this out, and I didn't. If you go on to My Disney Experience right now, anybody that's out there, go ahead and do it. They claim that after September 28th, Maelstrom is no longer an option for a fast pass, and it was there previous to this. And if you try booking it for the 27th, you absolutely can. Maybe it's sold out now, but at least you could a week or so ago. But yeah, so I think that tells you that it's going to definitely, at minimum, be closing for a refurb, and who knows what else, whether it, you know, how extensive and how long, we don't know. But if that's correct, it sounds like it is going to be closing in late September.
Well, that makes, you know, that's one that I want to get on. And it is like I was seeing that actually opened in 1988, okay. In 100 years. It was one of the pages I opened to.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? It's like thinking about going on that now. And it don't seem like it's been around that long, you know what I mean? But it has been.
Yeah, I mean, and that's...
Time goes by.
Yeah,
man.
And that's one of those attractions, I think, you know, I don't do this necessarily, but I think a lot of people do, that they put it in the category of Carousel of Progress or something like that, and that they're glad it's there, but they don't necessarily make the effort to go on it. And then they'll be disappointed when it's gone, I guess, and you know, I know we all have our favorites, and, you know, you might be traveling with folks or different people that might not necessarily like that type of attraction. They want the more thrilling rides like Soaring or Test Track, and if you have to make some choices, you know, particularly with Fast Pass Plus or whatever, you know, you probably wouldn't pick Maelstrom, you know, if you only had 6 hours to do Epcot or something like that on a given day. But it's a shame because, you know, at least from my perspective, those old school Disney attractions, which to me, the dark rides like Maelstrom and some of the others that we have and a lot of them that we lost, what, you know, separates Disney from, you know, any other theme park. I mean, others can build higher, faster, you know, more cool roller coasters, if you will. But myself, that's not what I'm necessarily after. I like the theming and, you know, particularly dark rides, and Maelstrom to me is one of the, you know, maybe not visually and not up to date, but as far as how it's laid out and what it is or what it's supposed to be, it just I love that attraction.
Well, that's why you should be happy, and that's why we're so anxious to see Seven Dwarfs ourselves. We're into that.
Right.
And it is going to be a kind of a dark ride. They stuck with their roots with that ride. And I think, you know, I think maybe Scotty wanted something a little more
thrilling,
adult oriented.
Yeah.
He said even though it's kid oriented, it's a little short and slow for him.
Right.
But I don't. He's the, like I said, he's the first person, and to each his own. I'm glad. It's nice to see somebody actually on the other side. It isn't all, everything's all bright and fluffy, if you follow me. But I don't see how I'm not going to like it if it's Splash Mountain meets Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah, but what I would say is this, if Scott were here or if he's listening, he can email us or whatever. But I would say, given where it's located, it's in Fantasyland, and obviously Fantasyland is geared towards the smaller guests or the kids, if you will. It makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't put a Space Mountain in Fantasyland. I know you wouldn't with that theming, but you know what I mean. You wouldn't put an attraction with that bigger thrill aspect to it. One, because you got the height requirements are so that, you know, you probably couldn't get the smaller kids on. And two, it'd just be too it'd be too much for them. So it probably makes sense that the you know, the roller coaster, like the Barnstormer, is, you know, kind of like your mini little roller coaster to get little kids used to roller coasters. And again, Mine Train is probably the next step up from the Barnstormer there. But, you know, it makes sense because it's in Fantasyland. At least it does to me anyways. I don't know how you
feel. Well, I don't want to misquote him. I'll give his exact quote. He wrote me back. We did the Mine Train today. Got to say, we were a bit disappointed. Very short. We know it is more for very young kids, but was hoping for more.
Okay.
So that was his exact. He didn't trash it, but he said it wasn't what he thought it would be.
Right. So in a way, he's probably saying, in his view, and not to put words in his mouth, it's not an attraction in his mind.
No, but it is to everybody else right now.
Yeah.
I wish it would not be for a week when I'm down there so we could get on it easy.
Right. No.
That's what I was hoping for. And while I'm over there at Fantasyland, another thing I'm looking forward to is I'm looking really much forward to going to the BR Guest restaurant, and I want to get the carved pork.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that with the mashed potatoes and the whole nine, the braised pork.
Oh, yeah,
with the mashed potatoes, the whole nine yards. That's one thing I'm looking forward to trying.
Now, you got ADRs, or are you just going to wing it, or what are you doing?
Well, for lunch, we're just going to go up there. I don't see us not being able to get lunch here
with
how big that hall is.
Right. Yeah, I think you just got to do that ticket deal we were talking about last week. You got to show up, you'll get a ticket, and then you come back later, which is actually better. You can go do something else and then come back.
Yeah, and if it's too smashed, I'll go over to Columbia Harbor House and be just as happy.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm looking forward to going there too, Dan.
Can never go wrong there, that's for sure.
No. So what else you got on your list,
buddy? What else am I looking forward to? I would say over at Mickey's Not So Scary. I mean, I know I kind of covered that in the first one, but I think I am going to do a party one of those nights. I didn't do it last year, and I skipped the year, and I somewhat missed it. I felt like I was left out, and yeah, you know, poor me, right?
You poor big baby.
Yeah. No, I have them actually looking right now. I have 1, 2, 3. I have 4 bands from Mickey's Not So Scary. I kind of tack them on the wall like medals of honor, if you will. So I'm missing one from last year. But
the best part of that is the Headless Horseman.
Oh, without a doubt. That's.
And then we roll.
Yep.
And go do rides.
Yep. I mean, well, I got to say 1 and 1A, the Grave Diggers in the Parade, which you probably never look at because you're over on the attractions, but the Grave Diggers, you got to see them. That, to me, that's – I might even put that 1 and 1, not even 1 and 1A. I mean, the Grave Diggers are awesome. If you've never seen them, if only you should stop and watch the parade just to see them if you haven't. It's well
– Well, if not, what you could do for me is you can record it for me this time.
Okay. All right.
And then you could shoot it to me.
You've seen them before. You must have seen them on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're cool.
So what do you got next?
Next is, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to just being in Epcot because, you know, I just look so forward to roaming around there. I can't wait to park my truck, we'll probably eat dinner at do the buffet, maybe at Cape May Cafe is one of the things we're thinking about.
Right.
And then walking into Epcot and chilling. I can't wait to see Illuminations then. That's it for me.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Illuminations, either we'll do that or we're going to go to Rose and Crown. I'll get my bangers and mash and then see Illuminations. And that's like the icing on the cake for me.
Yeah.
Especially with the rumors that we've gotten again that might be going away.
Yeah, I mean, those were, you're right, and those rumors were very strong about a year or so ago. But I mean, I gotta believe, but again, who knows? With everything else that's being discussed, both fact and fiction, I guess, I can't imagine them taking that down in the middle of all everything else that's going on. But who knows? Maybe they
I
will.
wouldn't be surprised then, because they're right now, it seems like they're in an arms race with Universal, and it looks like Disney's saying, okay, you want to fight? We're going to give you a fight, it seems like now. It seems like all hands are on deck at those parks right now,
Right.
because they're moving forward with the studios. They're still doing the moat and work at the Magic Kingdom. They're over at the Animal Kingdom. So what's going to stop them from doing work at Epcot at this point?
Well, only money, and they got plenty
I
of it,
don't
but.
But they don't seem like right now it seems like they're pissed to prove that they're number one.
Right.
It seems like they're going full steam ahead. And when you listen to that Len Testa podcast, when they were talking about Illuminations, he was talking like a matter of fact, they're already starting to make another show.
Yeah. Oh, I have no doubt that they're working on score and working on the how it would be laid out and what would be done. I mean, I don't know if they're actually welding stuff together to put it together. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know. Oh, I'm sure they have a very good idea already of what they want to do. I mean, if you recall, the rumors were that they would drain that lake or whatever it is in the middle there, and
Lagoon.
the lagoon, and they would actually put in the the water jets, if you will, like the light show, show out in California there. But again, that wasn't confirmed. That was just speculation. So if they did do that, that's going to have a huge, if only, I mean, a visual impact to Epcot. I mean, that would look kind of tacky for a while. But again, you got to go through some suffering in order to get on the other side to the good stuff. So, I mean, I'm as much as I love Illuminations, I'm all for it though. I mean, a new show to me would be awesome. I'd miss Illuminations, no
Oh,
doubt.
dude, I don't know if I could deal without it.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
did.
just the music alone is like, it's so spiritual. I mean, I would have to say Illuminations and Soarin' are two of the most inspirational songs that they're like go-to songs for me. No matter how bad the day's going, if I hear either one of those,
Right.
it makes me happy.
Yep. Yeah, I it's very uplifting. There's no doubt about it. I was going to throw in there the Candlelight Processional too is in that same category. But that's a special event, but you're just talking attractions. But
Just Illuminations music, Soarin' music, I mean, there's a How Do You Do from at Splash Mountain. There's just certain songs that are just like, and Illuminations is like stuck in my head. It's like as soon as I hear that, boom,
Right.
boom, it's like, and then it don't get any better than that.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. I've done. There's no doubt. I'm gonna miss it, or if it does happen, not if it's gonna happen. I mean, we keep saying this too. I mean, a lot of us would love the Tapestry of Nations parade and/or music to come back in some way. I mean, I would love that, but I don't think it's gonna happen. But that music is beloved by Epcot
Absolutely.
fans as well.
Hey, hey, hey,
I love when I hear that on Magical Mouse Radio. That makes me happy. That music there.
We bought my mother-in-law. It's like one of our come to Jesus together moments is that parade. Like, because me and her, I love her dearly, but we have disagreements on, she says the sky's blue, I'll say it's purple. Just the way our relationship is. We
Right.
love each other to pieces. We've been here going on 20 years together.
Right.
But that parade is like come to Jesus for the two of us. We both love it so much. We end up buying her the soundtrack.
Wow.
So she loves that music as much as I do. It's good
And
stuff.
I bo
That was an adult parade, in my opinion. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I was just going to share a story that I probably told you before, but I'll repeat it. It's very short. But yeah, the reason that connects with me is not only the music, but now that was for the Millennium, right? Was that 2000 that was out, or was it a little before then even?
If I'm not mistaken, I even think it was a little bit
Right.
before, but I could be
Well, I
wrong.
was going to say that's the parade we saw the first time we went down to Disney, and I refrained from saying that because I wasn't positive, but
I think it was there. I think it might have been the Millennium then, but I think it was because we were down there, and I remember it vividly. We were down in 99 for Christmas, and it was the first time we took my mother-in-law. And I think it was one of the Millennium deals, but remember, you know how Disney stretches it out forever.
Right.
So it started the year before actual Millennium.
Yeah, well, they got to practice it and, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, you're probably right. So 97.
I think it was 99, but don't email me saying, Doug, you're an idiot, because I already know that. But I think it was 99 it started. Right,
well, it's really irrelevant. But my daughter was, you know, real young then, and we were there. And it's interesting you say, you know, that was a parade for adults. But we have a picture of one of the big puppets that bent over, you know, one of the big ones that are on stilts there. And he or she, I don't even remember, you know, put his or her wings around my daughter and had a little special moment. And, you know, and that's something we just always remember from that parade. And it was just one of the how do I want to say it? You know, just one of the throw-in
special
characters.
Disney moments.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah. But, I mean, I guess you're right. It's not the familiar Mickey Mouse and running around. You know, the parade is visually stunning, but you're right. For children, there's no character recognition there or nothing. But the music and the floats and the you know, the stilt walkers with the wings and all the, you know, the tapestry, if you will, and all that stuff. I mean, to me, that was one of the best parades and musical scores that, you know, Disney's ever done at one of their parks, at least in my opinion, anyways.
Oh, I love that music. And the stilt walkers, because I walk on stilts. It was like I was hoping to retire doing that.
Right.
They took my dream job away from me.
So all them stilt walkers during the day, they're hanging sheetrock and stuff, right? And
yeah, well, that's what I do. Well, you don't hang sheetrock off them, you tape.
Oh, mud and tape. I wasn't trying to get too technical.
Well, I'm telling you, I'll snap at you.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm a finisher, and that's what we do. You walk on stilts to finish drywall. Now, some guys will screw off from the stilts, but that when they're hanging the sheetrock, but you're not going to hold the weight with the stilts on.
Ah, sweet.
You might be the guy holding the screw gun.
Right.
So, but no, that's I'm looking forward to seeing my Illuminations. I love that show. Absolutely love it. It's my favorite of all of them.
No,
I know a lot of people say Wishes or whatever, but. Nah, I love Illuminations. It's never gotten old to me.
No, it's an old standby, and again, as much as I like Wishes too, you're right. If I had to vote in one of Bob Sikon's polls, I would give my vote to Illuminations, no doubt.
So what do you got next on your list, Bart?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just thinking about that. Probably I'm going to put that. I think I said I'm going to try not the $3.99 package, but that other food and wine package there, the one the party there at night or whatever, where they close off between the World Showcase and the United Kingdom.
Yes.
So I'm going to put, you know, even though it's technically still food and wine, but it's, you know, something that I've never done. And I think I'm going to try that out, you know, one, because it sounds like it's a pretty decent value for the money. And then two, you know, I'll be able to report for the show whether or not I thought it was worth it and how they set it up. And, you know, it'll just be interesting, I guess. So I'm really looking forward to that special food and wine offering, if you will.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing your review on that myself.
Well,
you know, because you can never get enough new information. You know what I mean? When you try new stuff.
Yeah. Plus, you know, we're always jaded. You know, that's the good thing and the bad thing about social media. The good thing is you get to see things instantaneously as they're happening, but the bad thing is you get to see things instantaneously as they're happening, and sometimes we form an opinion without really seeing it for ourselves, experiencing it for ourselves, and you don't necessarily know what that person that's posting the picture or tweeting something out, what his or her biases may be or what they like or don't like. I mean, so it's kind of, you know, it's hard to do. I do it all the time. But, you know, if you can reserve your opinion until you actually see it or experience it, it would mean more. But, you know, it's just the world we live in now, I guess. Everyone wants to be the first to say something or have a comment, good, bad, or indifferent about something, whether they've seen it or not, I guess.
Well, that's the next thing on my list. I can't wait to get, first of all, we've said it, get to downtown to get some Wolfgang Puck pizza. But I can't wait to just see the new springs down there, see for my own eyes
right.
what it's going to be. And not being pompous or anything, but with me, with my construction background, I can kind of see things come together even a little more.
Yep.
Because I know what certain things are there for, what this pillar's for, what this footing is for. You understand what
yep.
I'm saying? I could see how things are going to lay out a little bit. And I'm anxious to see what's going to come. You know, I know what they have this blocked off for. Maybe this sidewalk's going to go here. It'll be fun for me to put the puzzle together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because you're going to see where they are at that snapshot in time when you're looking at it. But you're right, you'll have other visual clues or construction clues to say, oh, okay, there's going to be an awning over here, or there's going to be a pier over there, and you know, you'll be able to see it a couple phases ahead of what most folks would be able to tell at that time.
Yeah, it's just exciting to me. I mean, it's weird as it is, as much as construction drives me nuts, it's in my blood.
Right.
And when I'm seeing things built, unlike some people get this, I'm excited about it because I like to see also how things are done differently in Florida because of the hurricane codes, different code, why they put that there. I could sit there and walk around the construction sites for a week in Disney.
Right.
Just because I'm so interested in what they're building. Like I'm looking to see if I can get a peek in Avatar Land.
Right, right.
See how far that's come. Because I like to see it now. I'm happy. So when we go back next year or whatever, I can see the progress they've made. And I could also tell a lot of times by, no, they're not going to open when they're supposed to. No, that's going to be, there's no way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I know I keep teasing you about this, and, you know, I wonder if that parking lot is actually done in downtown Disney yet, right? They're making two of them, I believe.
Two towers.
Yeah, there's going to be sister parking lots, if you will. And like I said, that ties a lot into what you were talking about, what we mentioned on the news, that they're canceling the Festival of the Masters this year because of just all the pressure on the parking. But you would think that would be done by now. I know I mentioned this like 6 months ago, and you yelled at me and said, it takes time. But, man, it seems like they've built.
See, the problem with parking garages is, and just from my experience, we had one collapse in Atlantic City. And just because it's cured don't mean it's cured. You got to give it so much time to stack.
Oh, you mean as far as the concrete curing and all that?
Yes, and the height and the way they're being built. They take a while to cure because the thickness, because you're building these ramps to go up.
Right, right.
They actually had the one in Atlantic City collapse a few years ago because they didn't have the right they didn't have the pour right.
Right.
Because what they do is they put settings and stuff like drying. They put in different mechanisms to make it dry faster, cure faster,
right,
if you understand
right.
what I'm saying.
Yep.
So it takes time for all that. Even though there's no construction, it has to do with the thickness of the concrete, the rebarb. There's different stages, different steps you got to take to build something like that. Even though there's nothing to it once it's done, but there's a lot to it building it. And that's what takes time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going as fast as they can, or maybe they're not. Like I said, maybe they're staggering things and they don't want things done, or they don't have a larger crew on it. I don't know. It just seems like that was like the first thing we heard about when they said they were going from the whatever they called it there for 3 weeks before they said it was going to be Disney Springs. And I've never heard that it's complete or they're starting on the second one. Maybe they have, and we just haven't
heard.
Yeah,
they started on the second garage from what I heard and what I know.
Right.
Usually, and the thing of it is, you know, they usually build the garages first whenever they build casinos. You know why?
Yeah, you mentioned that, so the contractors have a place.
Yeah, so we can all park
right,
on them. And
right.
that's why they usually build this, because it gets it out of the way, one. And two, there has to be a place for everybody to park.
Right. Well, maybe they got a couple of floors open. Who knows? I mean, I'm just speculating here.
I'm sure they're being used already, I'll be honest
with
you. Yeah. It would be in my opinion, but I won't know until a couple weeks, and that's one of the things I can't wait to see. Like, all the construction going on, I can't wait to see, but I'm disappointed with the whole moat area in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, that'll be kind of walled off, too, depending on where they are. That's true. Yeah, that really impacts you. You really can
because
feel
of the beauty.
It. Yeah, takes away from that, you know, spectacular view. Well, you know, the castle is probably still visible, obviously, down Main Street. But
there's nothing like looking over the bridges,
right,
and looking into the water and seeing my buddies. I mean, I got friends down there. I got a bunch of ducks named. They're my boys,
yeah.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie, swimming around. I mean, it's like, come on. You get disappointed when you – it's just like, it would be like no icing on the cake without the waterways there. It's going to be a little sad to me.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll still be some water feature there, but I don't think it'll be as elaborate as we once remembered it. And, you know, that's progress, I guess. I mean,
yeah, as long as my carousel and my people mover's there, I'll be a happy kid.
Your orange people mover.
Yeah, well, a little brown, I think. Is it brown and orange,
yeah,
and white?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, but they, like I said, they had some paint left over from Epcot,
yeah.
So they decided to paint the TC in the same, you know, the TTA in the same colors.
There you go.
So we got a little long in the tooth, my buddy. I think it's time for us to wrap it up. We could go on and on and on about what we're looking forward to. Do you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Great talking Disney this week. And again, like you said, your trip is getting super close, and we'll look forward to hearing all about it before and after and during and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we got a couple more interviews coming up. We're going to do a little Disneyland thing, like we said. We're going to do a little more food and wine. We got a couple people coming in for that. So we got some interesting shows coming up in the future. So you don't just have to listen to me and Dennis babble all the time. Even though I know you guys love us.
Yeah.
So please hop over to Podbeam. Check out us at WDW Main Street. iTunes, WDW Main Street. Please give us a review. We could use every review we can get. It moves us up the search engine. Check us out at Twitter, WDW Main Street, or hop on our website at WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast. You can go to our travel site there. You can get our email address, which is WDWMMSMpodcast@gmail.com. And I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Anything else you have, Dan?
That's it. Have a good week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later, guys. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at WDWMainStreetMemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon.